All right, let me pray before I begin this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together. And Lord, I just want to commit what I have to share this morning to you. Lord, may these words be your words and not of my own. I trust, Lord, the things that I've prepared, that you would just be speaking into our midst this morning. Lord, our hearts might be soft and open to what you have to say to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share some thoughts from 1 John chapter 3, and let me read first. I did 1 to 18, but there's a couple of verses I did sort of leave out, but I'll read through. So starting at verse 1. See what great love the Father has for us, that he would call us his children. And that is what we are. For this reason, the people of the world do not know who we are because they did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, but it has not yet been shown to us what we are going to be. We know that when he comes again, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. The person who is looking for this to happen will keep himself pure because Christ is pure. The person who keeps on sinning is guilty of not obeying the law of God, for sin is breaking the law of God. You know that Christ came to take away our sins. There is no sin in him. The person who lives by the help of Christ does not keep on sinning. The person who keeps on sinning has not seen him or has not known him. My children, let no one lead you in the wrong way. The man who does what is right with God, in the same way as Christ is right with God. To verse 10, this is the way you can know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. The person who does not keep on doing what is right and does not love his brother does not belong to God. This is what you have heard from the beginning, that we should love each other. And then to verse 16, we know what love is because Christ gave his life for us. We should give our lives for our brothers. What if a person has enough money to live on and sees his brother in need of food and clothing? If he does not help him, how can the love of God be in him? My children, let us not love with words or in talk only. Let us love by what we do and in truth. There are three things that I'd like to focus on from these verses. One, we are called his children. Secondly, we're reminded of the love that the Father has for us. And thirdly, we're told how we can be like Jesus. So firstly, we're called his children. What a blessing to be a son or a daughter of God. And the verses that it refers to, we were called his children, God's children. It says, my children, children of God. Being a son or daughter is a blessing in itself, having a father and mother. But to be known as a son or daughter of God, how good is that? 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We're not only saved through what Jesus has done, but we're also made a part of God's family. Just having had children up here this morning, I was thinking about being called a child of God. And I think often we think about being known as a child, and particularly as you're a child, you're always wanting to grow up. As a child, you're always thinking, when I'm older, I'll be able to do this or do that. And sometimes we're wanting to be older as a child. And sometimes as you get older, as you become an adult, you start to yearn for those days when you're actually younger and think, oh, yeah, I miss when I could do that. Or, gee, my body won't let me do that anymore. Or those sorts of things. And I'd like to suggest that from a spiritual standpoint, it's important to be reminded of our position as a child of God. That how a child responds to the person of Jesus and to the truths of the gospel is how we should always respond, even as we get older. In the Bible, a number of young people are referred to and how God chose them when their hearts were right, perhaps when they weren't as impacted by the weight of life and what comes as you get older and the things you have to carry and bear. I just want to go through a few of those characters and just share a little bit about them. David, we all know of David. We know how he was chosen to be king. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at the way he looks on the outside or how tall he is, because I've not chosen him. For the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. A man looks at the outside of a person, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" David was chosen when only a child, a young man, to be the next leader of the nation of Israel. In verse 13, it says, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." As a boy, as someone who hadn't become a man yet and hadn't had to take on too much responsibility, here he was someone who the Spirit of the Lord came on in power. And we saw what happened when he confronted Goliath. A wonderful story of a young boy, no fear. All these older men who'd been in battle before, standing there shaking in their armour. They weren't willing to take on Goliath. They'd had experience in war before. They'd probably seen what it was like trying to take on bigger, stronger warriors. Here's David. "I know God's been with me as I've been a shepherd boy. I'll take on this Goliath, this giant, because I know God is with me. I know he will give me victory." He had no fear. His confidence in God was unwavering. "I will come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." How good is it to have that sort of confidence going into what is facing us? And we need to have that confidence as we go into what faces us from day to day. And then there's Samuel. As a young boy, he heard God speaking to him. 1 Samuel verses in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel." And we know that he didn't recognize that it was God's voice at first. But then as we go on, He knew that he had to respond to God who was calling out to him. And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." He didn't just say, "Speak, because I'm listening." "Speak, for your servant is listening." He knew he was born to serve God. That was his purpose. And as a child, Samuel came to know the voice of the Lord and was tasked with having to speak a strong message to Eli because of what he had allowed to go unchallenged in the behaviour of his sons. Samuel became a mouthpiece for God. And in verse 19, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground." Then there's Jeremiah. He was called by God at a young age to serve as a special prophet to the nations. I love what we read in the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 1. From verse 4, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Again, we see God taking someone in their youth and anointing them to serve him, to be the voice of truth to those around them at a time when it was needed. Just think about the time that we're in now. Don't we need men and women, young and old, who are willing to speak into the dark and hurting world around them? And we don't need to know necessarily what we're going to say in those moments. Just as God said to Jeremiah, "That I've put my words in your mouth," we can trust that God will give us the words to say to those that are around us. And then there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. What an amazing young woman. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Mary wondered at first, and wouldn't we all wonder if that was the situation we found ourselves in? She expressed her doubt. It was okay to, how's this going to be? And then surrendered completely. "I'm the Lord's servant." She was willing to give herself wholeheartedly to be a part of God's plan, part of God's plan for bringing salvation to mankind. There was a heart response. "I don't know what you're going to ask of me, Lord, but I'll do whatever you say in your word, whether I like it or not. And I'll accept patiently whatever you send into my life, whether I understand it or not." Do we respond as Mary did when God speaks and says to us, "I have something that I want you to do"? Or do we perhaps argue and question and question and question? Or do we respond in the way Mary does? I believe that we need to respond in the way that a child would respond, in faith, believing God at his word, responding with confidence to his call, knowing we need not fear, and that which God calls us to do, he'll equip us for that. Young kids, children, just respond so openly to the message of Christ. And it's something that we sometimes lose as we get older. As things come into our life, as things happen in our lives, sometimes we don't always respond just so openly and just with that heart response. "Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll still trust you. Yes, Lord, you know what I need. You know what's best." When we get older, we can become influenced by more of the world that we come into contact with. And we have to choose the voices that we're going to listen to. The one that says, "You can do what you want. Make sure you get what you need. Just make sure you're comfortable." Or the voice of the one who's created this world and given each of us life and who calls us into relationship with himself, where things may become uncomfortable, where you may have to give something up so that you can experience life in all its fullness, in all its beauty, in community with other believers, playing your part in the restoration of a broken and hurting world. Secondly, in the passage in 1 John, we're reminded of the love that the Father has for us. Verse 1, "See what great love the Father has for us, that he would call us his children. As a father myself, I know what it is to love my own children." And here we're reminded of how he loves us as a father, as one of his own children. And that love is so wide, it's so high, it's so deep, it's so long, and it's unconditional. It doesn't depend on what we do. How has he shown us that love? Verse 16, "We know what love is because Christ gave his life for us." Our Father in heaven stopped at nothing to show his love for us. He wanted nothing to come between himself and his creation. And so where we had brought a divide through sin, God tore that apart by giving his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. "This is how much I love you. I'm willing to give my son so that my children have a way of coming home to me." How are we to love? Verse 18, "Let us not love with words or in talk only. Let us love by what we do and in truth." This is what people around us in the world today need from us. They may not be willing to listen to us, and we know that. "Oh, don't tell me about that Bible stuff. Don't tell me about Jesus." But they'll notice how we love them. They'll notice how we give of ourselves, how we go out of our way to put them first. And they'll start to think, "Why are you doing this for me? Why are you loving me?" And we're able to perhaps have that conversation. It may open up for us. John 13:35. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Let us love by serving. Let us love by giving. Let us love by going to where people need us. Favourite book of mine that I've read is this book called Defined, Who God Says You Are by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. Highly recommend this book. They've done the movies Courageous, War Room, a whole series of movies. And in this book, there's a chapter that says you must walk in love at all times. And we read the following. It's on the screen. So the answer to simplifying how to handle your relationships with others at home, at work and elsewhere is yes, to approach them with love. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. But do it the only way love can actually be done. Believe and receive love first before trying to pour it out. And that's a really important thing. Believe and receive love first before trying to pour it out. Allow your identity in Christ as God's beloved child to be how you do it. Get into that river where he has poured his love into you through his Spirit, where he's transformed you from lost to found, and with his love sweeping in from behind you, let it rush through you like a channel or a giant garden hose, spraying the refreshing love of God into people's hearts everywhere you go. I love the way it's described in this book. And they go on to say, when you go into the supermarket, or when you pull up at the drive-thru, or when you're talking to your spouse or to one of your kids at night, or when you're dealing with a co-worker or an employee who's having a hard time, think of it first as an awesome opportunity to show Christ's love to them. Just take those moments that happen in each and every day to show Christ's love in those interactions you have. Think of how Jesus lived. Being led by the Spirit, he listened. He taught, he healed, he fed, he comforted, and he loved those that he was with, those who needed him. And then thirdly from this passage, we're told how we can be like Jesus. In verse 3, the person who is looking for this to happen, to be like Jesus, will keep himself pure because Christ is pure. Verse 6, the person who lives by the help of Christ does not keep on sinning. Verse 7, the man who does what is right with God. Verse 11, that we should love each other. Verse 16, we should give our lives for our brothers. So there's some direction, some instruction on how we can live as Jesus wants us to live, like him. Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. I think that's a really important aspect of making sure that we actually are walking and living as Jesus wants, where it talks about not sinning. When we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit that is within us. Now let me read again a bit more from this book, Defined, a chapter that says you must cleanse your heart. We all prefer clean drinking water. We like wearing clean, fresh-smelling clothes. We enjoy the crisp feeling of settling down at night into clean sheets on a clean bed. We want a clean bill of health from our doctors. But if one thing happens to disturb any of those nice, clean experiences, a bug in your glass, a lunch stain on your shirt, just ask my family how I react if that happens, a bad reading from your blood work, suddenly the whole thing is upset. It's not right anymore. Guess what? The life God wants for you is one of pure joy and peace, close and clean, consistent and connected. You can walk confidently into any situation filled with the incomparable contentment of a pure heart, a good conscience and a sincere faith, as we read in 1 Timothy. And that life is ours because of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. God's design for us is a clean, joyful life with the Holy Spirit living inside us. We need to understand that we have a part to play in experiencing this clean, joyful life. And that is to not allow sin to take root, cutting us off from God and the ability to hear his voice as he leads us. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit within us. The more we understand this, the quicker we will be to recognize when sin is sitting at the door of our hearts waiting to creep in. I believe that we need to be intentional about what goes into our hearts and minds. Proverbs 4:20-27. I love this section. My son, listen to my words. Turn your ear to my sayings. Do not let them leave your eyes. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Keep your heart pure, for out of it are the important things of life. Put false speaking away from you. Put bad talk far from you. Let your eyes look straight in front of you and keep looking at what is in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from sin. We get clear directions on the things that we're meant to be focusing on and the things that we're not in that passage. And it's really important. We're told to turn away from sin and to turn to God, to turn to the things that he wants us to be looking at. Furthermore, it's important to be active in allowing God's Spirit to have free rein. Because sin, we know that sin can creep in and take root without us being aware of it if we are not actively communing with God and inviting him to show us where sin may be present. Psalm 139 in verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." When was the last time that you prayed that prayer? We should make a regular habit of it, I believe. How often do we settle for a life that is secondary to what God wants for us because we don't want to face up to what we might find if we ask God these questions, if we ask him to search our hearts? And yet this is holding us back from the life that God wants for us. One of freedom, one that is cleaner, pure and more fulfilling, one that is all that we were created and designed for. When our lives are right with God, we can then love others and give our lives for our brothers and our sisters. We'll be free to see the needs of others and our hearts will be aligned with the heart of God. In Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." I know this message is one that I need to be reminded of. It's so easy to slip back into old ways, old habits, or to become okay with sin. We need to draw near to God, seek him with all our hearts, and we need each other to be accountable to allow the Spirit of God to speak through them and to each other. Saying sorry to God and to those you've wronged is powerful. It's what the world needs to see in action. Forgiveness, the way to being set free. So as I conclude, can I encourage you to know that you are a child of God and to respond to his call on your life as someone who wants to please their Father, the one who's created you in his image, and the one who calls you his beloved. Seek to live a life that is pure and sinless, allowing the Holy Spirit to have free rein in your heart, motivating you to love through actions and in truth. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you've spoken to us today. Lord, help us to know you more closely. Help us to draw near to you each and every day, to allow your Spirit to have free rein in our hearts. Help us to cry out to you, to ask you to search our hearts, to show us if there is any way, any sin, any wrong in our hearts. Lord, that we might be open to you, cleansing us, making us pure. Prepare us for that time when Jesus returns again. May our hearts be ready. Help us to be able to reach out to this hurting world around us, to be open to the call that you put in our lives, and it may be a simple direction to speak to someone we've never spoken to before, but someone that we know that is hurting, or just to start a conversation with someone, to share the hope that we have in you, Jesus, to share the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that as we go into a new day, into a new week, that we might take this walk with you seriously, that we might make a difference to those around us. I pray for your blessing upon the rest of this day and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.